You're listening to the best of SEN.
Oh, the great man, the former Test cricketer, former One Day International World Cup winning, Simon O'Donnell. Of course, he played VFL back in the day as well, too. He tells you all about this on the Sporting Flame, 6 o'clock on a weeknight. He's been good enough to join us on the line. Hello, Sod.
Jimmy, morning to you.
Hey,
Joe, morning to you.
Good morning.
Hey, Sod, we win
my
this.
Very serious voice this morning.
It is very serious.
I like it.
Yeah.
Very serious.
Very deep. 4-0 we win, but how satisfying is a 4-0 victory when England, out with a whimper, actually throwing in the towel, quote-unquote, former England captain Michael Vaughan last night in Tasmania, mate?
Yeah, I agree with him. A couple of those last wickets, Wokes was horrendous. And then the final wicket, I mean, that was, you know, that was just throwing in the towel. Enough's enough. So that was disappointing on the surface. The 4-0, I think, is, you know, really exciting. You know, Australia just comprehensively outplayed them, and there was a big build-up to the series, and it's an Ashes contest, and it's all the history and all those sorts of things, and for Australia to put them away the way they did, I think is, you know, is fantastic. Yes, it's probably not as exciting as you'd like it to be. You would have liked a couple of Sydneys out of the five Test matches.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of those, you know, really tight finishes, but you know, they just weren't up to it. No, they've got a really, you know, a real, very much a long way to go.
So from an Aussie point of view, I feel like there are quite a few really incredible storylines, but what is the most positive or the best thing to come out of this series for the Aussies?
Scott Boland is an extraordinary story.
Yeah.
You know, Jai Richardson's a good story, albeit, you know, he's now not in that front line attack. Scott Boland's taken that opportunity. You know, Usman Khawaja, to force his way into that side, you know, not just to knock the door down, he just bulldozed down a whole block of houses. you know, that was extraordinary. You know, Pat Cummins as captain. You know, like, it's just full of positives for Australia. And you know, to see that group working so cohesively over the journey of an Ashes series, you know, generally there's a hiccup or two. You know, Head went out, you know, we had the COVID issue and then comes back in and, you know, pumps out 100, you know, in that first innings that turned the Test on its ear on a green top. I mean, it was just a, you know, from the Australian point of view, you just sort of think we're a bit, you know, infallible at the minute.
Yeah.
That you know, wherever we turned, it worked. But I'm just not 100% sure what that opposition was.
Yeah. If we look at that positives for Australia and now turn our attention to those people who might be, I'm not saying under the pump, but maybe did not have their reputations enhanced. Crash Craddock's written today about, well, maybe Steve Smith is not Superman. He's averaged actually half what his career average has been. And maybe we don't get used to all the hundreds that Steve Smith used to peel off. How do you see it, Simon?
Oh, look, I think they've learned to bowl to Steve Smith around the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in the second innings in Tassie is the first time his average has been under 60 for, you know, X amount of time. You know, he's still an extraordinary player, but to think he can average 30 in a series and we still win it and be as dominant as we were is something, again, 3 years ago that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just shows the growth we've had in our cricket. And, you know, Usman Khawaja, he's 35, but, you know, to do what he did and still have the fire burning in his belly to go and do that, not just once, but twice in one match, is extraordinary. So that's where I think the growth's been, that our reliance on a Steve Smith, which was, you know, extraordinary during the middle part of his career, now that he's, you know, that little bit older, he's still got plenty of years left, but, you know, that reliance isn't there for that 60 average. He'll want to get back there personally, and when he does, and he will, you know, imagine how good the cricket team's going to be then.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a scary prospect, really. Simon, next time Australia play a test, Who opens?
Ooh.
I think Harris opens again.
Okay.
I just think it's funny. There's two spots in a cricket team I don't think you can fiddle with, and that's one and two. Your two opening batsmen. I think they are unique beings, and you know, Usman's 200 came at in the middle order, and I think that's where he stays, and that's where he should stay. Now that's just me. That's my feel. And then you come to Tassie and you say, well, okay, you know, difficult pitch and all that sort of thing. And he fails twice. Well, he's allowed to fail twice because he made two centuries in the one match to get that spot, and has had a really good Sheffield Shield year. And, as I said, didn't just bang the door down. He bulldozed a whole block of houses to go in. So he deserves still to have that opportunity. But it's one of those spots that I don't think you fiddle with in elite sport. And you know, I'm trying to think of an example. You know, maybe it's fullback in rugby league. You know, that's a unique being. You know, I'm probably thinking of Billy Slater and you know, the years he had at Melbourne Storm. And you know, am I thinking of, you know, was Russell Fairfax a fullback? I remember at East all those years ago. You know, like there are people that, they're just that sort of person, and they're not much good anywhere else, but they bring it there. And I think opening batsmen are very similar to that.
Cam Green has announced himself as an all-rounder, maybe a bowling all-rounder, batting at six, but he was instrumental last night in Australia securing that victory. What have you made as a former all-rounder, Simon, as the development of Cam Green during the course of this series?
Yeah, brilliant. You know, the couple of 70s he made, and you know, the ball has been the bit that's you know, really, I think, put his name up in lights in this series. You know, and to come in last night, you know, what were they, none for 68?
Yes.
You know, and getting a little bit of you know, a little bit of a jig going in the dressing room, thinking, hey boys, we might be able to get here, you know, and knock over the next three. I just thought that was brilliant for a young bloke, 22 years old, for, you know, Ashes series at home, you know, big test match, all that sort of stuff. You know, so he's obviously over his back injuries, and he's being able to bowl more in the net. So, you know, that's saying to me that, you know, his cricket's getting better and better. Mm. And again, it's like the Steve Smith discussion. You know, he averaged 30 this series and not his usual 60. Imagine when he gets back to full form. Well, imagine when this bloke hits his top gear, batting six and being part of the top four pacemen in the side, you know, it puts a whole, you know, different dynamic into that cricket team. It's someone we've been looking for 40 or 50 years that can do it at both ends, and possibly we've now found that guy who can do it.
So very quickly, before we let you go, I've got to ask you about Jimmy's favourite topic, which is Justin Langer. Does he retain his position as coach after June?
Jimmy and I chatted about this on the Summer Flame the other day. Is there a sport in the world where, as coach, you can go and win the ultimate prize in a format of the game, which is 2020 World Cup, and then you can go and win a five-test series 4-0 against the old foe in an Ashes series as coach and still be questioned if your job or not. I think Jimmy's reply to that the other day was, mate, he's just signed a 3-year extension, and you probably did that, you know, 2 months ago as they were halfway through the 2020 World Cup. So I just find it extraordinary that there is a debate. And my worry, and I know we've just come off a 4-0 win in a series, is, you know, I think you always need as important as the players are and their opinion is, you still always need a decision maker and a really firm hand to give that guidance. Just every now and then, when a little hurry up needs to be dished out, just to make sure that everyone's on the same page. And you know, you need a coach and you need a strong administration running the game to do that. And I just can't even believe it's being questioned.
It's like that firm hand that you have for the Sporting Flame 6 p.m. on a weekday during the course of January, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, having to sort of ring you and wake you up after you've been up to breath here. Yeah. Still having a little snooze in the afternoon, so look, mate, any danger of putting some background in there, some research in here?
Oh,
and
well.
You come when you walk into the room yawning. Oh, yeah. Sorry, mate, I just got up. Yeah. Oh, geez, I was up early for breakfast.
With the PJs on? Well, yeah.
Oh, mate. I thought we'd grown out of those sort of PJs too, those cartoon
shows. Oh, there we go.
I'll be back in.
Oh, they are well and truly back in. Hey, mate, I'll speak to you in about 8 hours' time, I think it is.
I look forward to it, pal.
Good on you, mate.
I look forward to it.
There he is, the great man, Simon O'Donnell. He's a good fella. He's been buying cattle from his kitchen.
You did say that.
Yeah. So
you did say that cooking show you guys do.
Yes, the cooking show. I think he goes well on the barbecue. I think he's got me covered, which is a bit disconcerting. Brett Phillips up next.
You're listening to the best of SEN.
Time to get an Australian Open update. Thanks to Kia, the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/AUBP. Our man, he has got a very busy couple of weeks coming up. Morning, BP.
Jimmy, good morning. I'm just walking down a little walkway here into Melbourne Park very, very shortly. I've got to tell you, I'm appreciating the nice little breeze that is happening right now. I think it's going to certainly warm up during the day. But yeah, we've arrived, eh? We've got here, 17th of January, and today we can just talk some tennis. No doubt there'll be still the lingering story of Djokovic and what's unfolded. And I suppose I'll have a better idea at the end of today just of the overall vibe of Melbourne Park and how it looks. But yeah, it's nice to be able to talk some tennis, that's for sure.
Okay, well, what is your vibe as you walk in? I get the sense that, you know, this is the big show for you.
Yeah, look, this is one of four Grand Slams. It's, you know, right in my backyard, which is brilliant because to lead a cup of tennis, you've got to spend a fair bit of time on an aeroplane travelling the world. But to have this, you feel sort of pretty privileged. And you know, this precinct as I'm about to walk in with the CBD in the background. I mean, tell me anywhere in the world, and I know I'm probably sounding like a biased Melburnian, but tell me anywhere in the world where there's a better sporting precinct so close to the city. I mean, this site does look absolutely spectacular, the extra arena. So, yeah, I hope the fans just get here today and really enjoy the tennis. And a lot of fans want to be able to do that. You know, they're just pure tennis fans. They don't care about politics and all the off-court drama. They just want to see balls hit and follow their favourite players. And that's the great part. The first two or three days, so much going on, Jimmy. The outside courts, you know, there's great matches that you can't even see on paper that turn into epics. So they're looking forward to it.
BP, what are you most looking forward to on day one?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when we've got the world number one, Joe, I think that's gets me excited. You know, if she can tick one of seven boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bring that to you on SEN tonight around the country, which will be great, up against Lucia Cyrenko. Look, she should be able to get it done. There shouldn't be any dramas there. Look, I'm doing centre court today. You've got Nadal. You've got Osaka, which will be interesting to watch. Mm. She's up against a girl who I think could cause her a little bit of trouble. The four name into two name now, Camila Osorio, the Colombian, who does hit a mean tennis ball, doesn't come back too often, but she's up against Osaka, who, you know, I think we're all intrigued just to see whether she'll play a full 2022. Six Aussies all up. There's some winnable matches there. Kokkinakis later on, too. Let's see how he's recovered. They put him out on the third court, show court three, which is a great little amphitheatre, which will be rocking in the twilight session later on. So hopefully he's recovered and can bring Adelaide into Melbourne.
We were talking about an Aussie multi earlier of Barty, Tomjanovic, Milman and Kokkinakis. Could we genuinely have four wins there?
I would say certainly three. Mm. The only one is Isla for me. I mean, she's up against a really good player. Mm. This is a rematch of Sydney last week in Bardosa. So hopefully Isla's, you know, picked that apart. There wasn't much in it, as there often isn't in, you know, women's tennis of players that, you know, really are quite similar in the way they play. It was just better execution from Bardosa. So Isla would love some moments back, but no doubt she can go toe-to-toe. Certainly Milman can beat I think he's nearly 50, Feliciano Lopez. He's still going. He looks like he hasn't aged a bit with that beautiful lefty serve. So, yeah, it's only Isla that I would be worried about that could be really in a real dogfight, that match.
You said you'll be able to get a better sense of the feel of Melbourne Park after today. What's your sense that you're getting now? I get the sense that the players and those people around tennis are very keen to talk tennis and less Novak.
Absolutely. I mean, Tennis Australia put out such a brief statement, Jimmy, last night. I mean, they've still got, in my view, they've still got plenty of questions they need to answer. And I think in the fullness of time, they and other outlets in and around this whole Djokovic debacle, really, will have to speak and be fairly transparent. So for now, though, they've got to run a tournament. And, you know, the players here, they've got to look after, the ones that are in the draw. And, you know, that's first and foremost for TA. So, I think they're very keen to talk tennis. And, look, you know, Djokovic is out, but, gee, there's, you know, it's quality. It's quality right across the board. One player, as we know, doesn't make a tournament. I feel a little sad in a sense. I'm not saying I feel sorry for Novak, but it's just how it even got to that stage that one of the greatest of all time is not playing our Open here. A lot of people would love to have that time back, I'm sure.
Robert Crash Craddock, deeply respected journalist, has suggested that this could be the end of Craig Tiley. Thoughts?
Well, yeah, we've got the first serve coming up at 9, Jimmy, around the country. So looking forward to the first serve being back in a special 3-hour edition this morning. And I'll chat to Courtney Walsh and Linda Pierce, two of the best tennis journalists that I know. And we'll certainly pose that and chat about it. I mean, Craig was a regular tweeter day in, day out. We haven't heard from him for about 13 days now. And
he's got to wear some heat.
There's no doubt about that. But he's survived when he's been under scrutiny before. So we'll wait and see. But we'll definitely dissect that a little bit more, the ramifications of TA.
Producer Alex brought it to our attention before, but obviously Novak's not there, Roger's not there. This is the first Grand Slam that Rafael Nadal has ever played that doesn't feature those two guys. But he's won 20 of them, as was pointed out. He's still that much of a machine. Is he now a shoe-in on the men's side of things?
I wouldn't say a shoe-in, but I watched him train yesterday in our bunker, which is such a brilliant bird's eye view. And, gee, it's an intense session. You know, if you're the hitting partner in that training session, you're not out there just hitting a couple of balls over the net. You've got to go toe-to-toe with Rafa. He simulates a match. And, look, there's no doubt he can put himself right in the frame. It's just the lack of tennis he's played in the last 6 months. Will that catch up with him? But, gee, these big guns, Medvedev, Zverev in particular, those are the two that, you know, are hungry. They're now bringing the game. They can certainly dismantle Nadal on a quick hard court. You know, Rafa always probably appreciates it a little more time. So he's going to be up to his eyeballs in it, but he's a great competitor, and he'll look at this as a magnificent opportunity to try and claim a second Australian Open. It's been hard for him to win down here.
Yeah, no doubt. Ash Barty in action tonight. That's from 7 p.m. You'll hear it across SEN's Australian Open coverage. You're right in the heart of that BP. From 9 o'clock today, the first serve with Brett Phillips, and we're covering across games from Rod Laver Arena, as well as the Aussies in action all over the place as well. Great to chat, mate. I know you're excited about first day of a major tournament. We wish you all the best, and we'll look forward to chatting throughout the course of the week, mate.
Look forward to it, team. Thank you.
Catch you, BP.
There he is, Brett Phillips. He's at his Super Bowl.
Yes.
He's having his big day. Imagine if they said, BP, we're putting a wedding on for you this week. It's like, yeah, nice one. That's hilarious. There's no way I'm going. Well done to Alex, panel operator Alex, who got an upgrade during the course of that interview too, to producer Alex. Wow.
Alex practically carries me every morning. I'm like, of course he sees.
He's getting cards made up as we speak.
You're listening to the best of SEN.
Welcome back to the program, Joe and Jimmy. Up until 9 o'clock for Bryden's Lawyers. We do it for 4D Doors. We've got games going on at the moment. I think in the end, 31-15. Just trying to work out whether we're just about done in that fourth quarter. That's the Buccaneers over the Philadelphia Eagles. Well done on that one. Rex from Lidcombe says, so if he wasn't caught out by social media, he would have got away with it. No, I think we've moved past that, haven't we, with Novak? I think we realise that.
Yeah.
It wasn't just him putting out that Instagram post that
no,
him.
I think that the biggest thing was lying on his declaration form.
Yeah.
Because that had a minimum, maximum of 12 months in prison, didn't it?
But, well, maybe Rex is saying, well, if we didn't, Border Force didn't stop him in the first instance, then maybe that does not come to light. Maybe there's not, oh, okay, you said this, so what were you doing at that time? Mm. And that may not have come to light as well. So maybe Rex is right. Huh, there you go. Paramat says, and Dylan Alcott is number one too, Jimmy. Yes, yes, Dylan, there's another world number one. We mentioned Ash Barty.
Oh, yep, yep, yep.
Novak Djokovic won't be here, of course. All thanks to Foxtel, by the way, Australia's only dedicated sport 4K Ultra HD channel. We're talking cricket and we're talking about some of these reasons and the data that's come out of these test matches that are being played, the Ashes, of course, and there's quite incredible. We said 4 in 10 Aussies say that they would miss milestone events like birthdays and weddings to watch the Boxing Day test match. What about this? 1 in 5 full-time workers would skip a day at the office to watch the cricket. Not so relevant in COVID, is it?
Well, that's what I was just thinking. A lot of this is like, well, are you not working at home on the sofa with the cricket on in the background?
That's
anyway?
Right. You could be highly effective.
Yes.
Doing that?
Yep.
Oh, what's that noise in the background? Oh, sorry. Stuart Broad just got a wicket. Almost a quarter of Aussies have confessed to calling in sick so they could watch a match through the summer. I think that's very standard,
yeah,
isn't it? 1 in 5 Aussies will watch the cricket while at work. Again.
I'm surprised that's only 1 in 5.
That's right. I think 1 in 5 Aussies will have the sound up.
Yeah,
the other would have the sound
the
down and just
in
be
sick
watching.
Thing, I wonder whether, I don't know if I'd call in sick to watch a day of a test match because obviously there are multiple days.
Yes.
So you'd have it on at work or you'd watch it at home, but I'd call in sick the final of Wimbledon 2 years ago, Roger Federer's last final, I reckon it was.
Mm.
It was like stupid o'clock in the morning here.
Right, yep.
But watching that and seeing history like that played out, I'd call in sick for that.
Yeah, there you go. See, when Pat Rafter took on Goran Ivanišević in the year 2000, that was like, it was a long game too, and you're like, yeah, I'm watching all of this.
Yep. Final round of the Masters when Tiger Woods won the comeback, the next day I was useless because it finished at like 6:30 in the morning.
Yes.
He pulled an all-nighter, but it was so worth it.
So that's the thing, isn't it, that those time zones that mark us up. Ashes series played in England, they're the ones.
Yeah.
They're the ones where you get the first session in prime time and you go, right, 5 more overs. That's it. 5 more overs. That's all I'm watching. And then you can't help yourself. 73% of cricket fans in New South Wales and 70% of cricket fans in Victoria admit they have prioritised cricket over a chance of finding romance on a date, exercise, and a restful night's sleep. Is that all? I thought that'd be higher. Like, what about we've had our, you know, I don't know how you'd best describe Charles, certainly not producer Charles, although that's not how he'd describe himself.
He's a multitasker.
He is a multitasker. He is. He took his
date to the cricket.
Lady friend to the cricket.
Perfect. You're killing two birds.
She had no idea what was going on.
And but he was having a great time.
I don't think Charles was helping either with that, too, by the way.
Did he want to say 3 stats and over? he was giving
it. Oh, my God. He's up, Charles. 31-15, final score in that Tampa Bay versus Philadelphia Eagles match. Foxtel, the only place to watch every ball of the Vodafone Ashes series in 4K Ultra HD. Now, we were talking a little bit earlier for our mates at Sportsbet. And remember, Sportsbet, bet with mates. Start your group, bet together. Share the moment. Conditions apply. Make sure you gamble responsibly. And that was, what's the multi? We talked about those Aussies in action. We actually threw in James Duckworth as well.
You threw in James Duckworth.
I threw in James Duckworth. And if I could find that sheet of paper.
So I had Ash Barty to beat Lucia Cerenko, Ayla Tomjanovic to beat Paula Badosa, and John Millman and Thanasi Kokkinakis to win their games.
Right.
And that was just over $7.
$1.50. Jeez.
Thank you.
Panel operator, back to panel operator for you, executive producer. Alex. $1.52 Duckworth, $1.25 Kokkinakis, $1.42 Millman, $1.04 Barty.
Yeah, it was Isla, wasn't it?
Isla was $4.40.
Well, that's what BP said. He said if any of the four, yeah. It said it's not totally out of the question, but Bedosa is a very good player and beat her a couple of weeks ago.
$12.34. So that win by Tampa Bay, and if we're talking NFL, because there's a couple more games coming up this morning, they've already got to mark it up for the Buffalo Bills up against the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, they don't. Do they?
They do. 217.
That's bad.
Your Buffalo and Kansas City $1.69 favourites. They haven't even beaten the Steelers. They will. That's all thanks to SportsBet. Bet with mates. Start your group bet together. Share the moment. Conditions apply. Make sure you gamble responsibly on that one. 1300-01-1170. McDonald Jones open line. Let's get to the caller on the line. Oh, this is our man. He'll be excited about the Aussie Open coming up, being a former tennis player. Harry's on the line from Belmore. G'day, H.
Good morning, Joe and Jimmy. look, Brad Phillips was asking the other day, he would have liked to have seen Jimmy Connors.
Yeah.
Play. I saw a lot of Jimmy, and in his Wimbledon win, he's leading Roswell 2 sets to love, and Roswell, as usual, he just strolled across the baseline, threw his rackets in his hair, caught it and kicked to his right. He was gone. Roswell, as a very young boy, was left-handed. Everything he picked up with his left hand, his parents had stopped it and put it in his right hand.
Mm.
We don't know if that caused him to have a weak serve. That's why he never won Wimbledon. Jimmy Connors then went to Melbourne for the Australian Open. He won his second round match, and Gary Wilkinson was interviewing him. And Wilco said, what's wrong with your low forehead? Well, Jimmy blew up. He said, who are you to tell me how to play? You're not a coach. Oh, the voice is going these days, mate. I don't know what I'll do.
Nah, you're right. Stay with it. H-shot. Sounds like he's had a big weekend. H-shot. A bit like Simon O'Donnell this morning when he woke up. Good on you, mate. So there you go. Oh, good work, Gary Wilkinson. What's wrong with your forehand?
Yeah.
That's like you saying, Deli, 33 points tonight, but oh, it's an ugly looking shot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that's the equivalent of that.
I know.
No wonder Jimmy got upset. There's another Jimmy that's better looking than me. Connors, Garoppolo.
Oh, Jimmy G.
Cagney. Anyone else you want to mention, that'd be fine. NRL stat, the GOAT today is Tommy Turbo.
Oh, okay, by the numbers.
You want to talk about the numbers. This century, it's Andrew Johns and Jonathan Thurston. And if you want to look at the most decorated player in history,
mm-hmm.
Cam Smith, our very own Cam Smith at SEN. He would be.
Yep. Is he the people's goat?
Ooh. Where are we, north of the Tweed or south of the Tweed? That might tell the story. Or south of the Murray. They might be in Melbourne.
But it's interesting, the people's goat argument really has quite a big impact in the discussions and on the overall outcome. I mean, it's if you can ever get to a proper outcome. Unless you're talking about tennis because it's Roger Federer.
There you go. Yes, exactly. Morning team, I like my cricket, but I would never take a day off to watch a test match. Super Bowl, Melbourne Cup Day, a week off for the NBA Championship Week. There's the rostered days off for the year. Thoughts, Jimmy from Caringbah.
Yeah, wouldn't take a whole week off for the NBA Championship, but game days, absolutely.
Yeah, right. There you go.
And Super Bowl, growing up, not so much now because the access to watch it is a lot easier,
yes.
But we used to take days off school. And
to watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, there'd be a group of us at somebody's house and you'd get the popcorn out. And
really different in Adelaide, aren't they? Must be said.
We're the cool kids. What are you talking about?
I remember I watched Jared Haynes' first game in the NFL on my phone. I thought that blew me away. I think it was being streamed on Twitter at the time. It was like 2016. And there I am in the office just watching it on my phone. I thought, if you'd have said to me a year ago, you're going to be doing that. Like, one, watching Jared Haynes in the NFL, yeah. But two, doing it on your phone. It's like... and there were more people watching Jared Hunt, the round one of that season, than watched the Super Bowl the year before.
Oh, really?
In Australia.
Wow.
In Australia. That's the power. And that brings me to, I read over the weekend that Netflix and the PGA Tour are doing the equivalent of the Formula One Drive to Survive.
Very good series.
And I looked at all the names and I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting because they're notoriously protective of their players. Mm-hmm. They'd say, no, they're going to let Netflix and go for it. No Aussies.
What?
No Cam Smith.
Sure, the Aussies would be great value on that kind of thing too because they're not necessarily so conservative. They'd probably be quite happy to, you know, give away a few bits of bits of information.
Yeah, so no Aussies involved
Bubba Watson
in it.
On there?
Yes, Bubba Watson is on there.
He's an interesting character.
Yeah, I thought that. And then I was thinking, is there a Chinese PGA golfer or is there an Indian PGA golfer? Because you need to get them on there too.
Hideki will be on there though. He's got a massive following.
True. True. And they were talking about, 75% has been the increase since Drive to Survive has been released in the viewership of Formula One in the US compared to that series.
I've definitely spoken to people who have said their interest has peaked based on it. Absolutely.
Because it allows, again, it's one of those sports, we're talking about the NFL, where they've got helmets on. So the drivers, you need to take the helmet off. Mm. NBA, different. You see their face.
Yeah. Social media for Formula One. They do such a good job at having access to the guys. McLaren the other day did something with Lando and Danny, and it was like a, you know, walk left or right based on your answer. And it was like, would you rather park in the wrong spot on the grid or spin out in pit lane? And they were stood there going, and you could see, they were like, oh, best of a bad situation here. Which one? The other one was, one of the questions was no water at all or pee your pants during the race.
Right.
And both of them were like, they had to think about it.
Pee your pants, I'd say.
I think they said no water at all.
Did
both
they?
Of them. But just like, that's the access to these drivers and that's why people feel that they're a bit more connected to them because of social media.
And Joe, how well do you know Lando and Danny? It's clear you're on first name basis.
Very well now.
You're listening to the best of SEN.
Joe and Jimmy, just about done for the day. We've got a lot of text messages here, 0457 736 736. Maybe you want to be like Harry as well and give us a call on the McDonald Jones open line. You can do that, 1300 01 1170. Big day for us Steelers fans, Jim Shady. Either Big Ben pulls a miracle off and we progress, or he stops holding Steeler Nation to ransom and we find a new quarterback. Yeah, it's a little bit like that, isn't it? Port Macquarie Pearl, now in Cowra. But yeah, Big Ben, Steeler Nation, is there going, when's he going? What? Is he still going to go around? Oh, okay. Morning, J-Man and Joe. This is from the Adelaide Dragon. Am I missing something? It's purported that Novak lied on federal government documents, which, mind you, is a criminal offence and clearly illustrated on all documents required to be completed when entering Australia. If this is true, for me it's a no-brainer. Do not pass go. Would the same process have been afforded to a battler like myself? We take that on board, Adelaide Dragon, but the thing is, that's not why he was thrown out of the country.
No, he's been thrown out for the election, for political votes. He's the scapegoat in this whole situation, I feel like.
So we know he did the wrong thing at different stages, much like you've pointed out, Adelaide Dragon. And that's the point. And as soon as I heard, this is why they think, this is what the federal government is going with, the fact that he might incite protests and encourage people to be anti-vax, I thought, well, that's not going to win.
Yeah.
If they want to throw him out for misleading information on documents, well, that's obvious. But they did win. So Novak Djokovic is, I think, any update? Just past Sri Lanka, last we heard, 33,000 feet. So there you go. Jimmy and Joe, a point of order. Unvaccinated Australian citizens and permanent residents are allowed back into the country. If you are a visitor to the country, you need to be vaccinated or hold a valid medical exemption.
Which he did.
Just because the Joker had a medical exemption does not mean it is valid. It still needs to be tested against the government's criteria at point of entry. He won his first appeal not based on the validity of his medical exemption, but because he was not subject to procedural law, a technicality. For your information, many people are turned away when being processed through immigration with valid visas. Their visas failed testing at the entry port to Australia. Cheers, Dave from Old Toon Gabby.
Interesting.
But I think that's what we're saying, aren't we? Aren't we arguing the same thing there? Anyway, Jimmy, there are different rules, so stop putting everyone into one box. Didn't think I was doing that, Darren. But anyway, your children are vaccinated, one rule. Rebel Wilson is an Australian citizen, different rule. I don't know how that's... And the other thing to consider is this, different time. Like the rules change over time. The rules change when we're in the United States. When I was in the United States, when I left for the United States, there was no quarantining at home.
Mm.
When I came back, there was 7 days quarantining at home unless you're able to provide a negative PCR test. And then later it became negative rapid antigen test.
That's why it's been such a debacle, though. Everybody's on a different page. The government's on a completely different page to Alex Hawke. The different states have their own rules as well.
And that's right.
And then Tennis Australia and the Australian Open Organising Committee have advised Novak on one thing. They got that wrong in the first place.
Yes.
And so it just... It's a mess.
The form for Australian Open needed to be in by the 10th of December. He was positive after that. Just watched border control. If you lie on your visa, you get sent home. I think we're all arguing in a circular fashion.
Do we know for sure that they, I mean, they probably didn't, but to have filmed all of that and documented it, it'd be so good.
Ratings bonanza.
Yeah.
Sorry, we interrupt the Australian Open final to bring Border Force, the Novak issues.
Kennard's High Sports update for you. Just one more on Novak. Nick Kyrgios has had his say on the situation. Says it's a bit of a shambles, but let's just have a listen to Australia's bad boy of tennis.
This Hawke guy's like, oh, he's a threat to our borders. And I'm just like, well, no, he's not. We're treating him like he's like a weapon of mass destruction at the moment. Like he's literally here to play tennis. I understand their anger towards him being not vaccinated and having the medical exemption. I understand that. I understand that side. But we've already spoken at face value. You just say, okay, he's done what he needs to do. He's got his paperwork. He's okay to be here.
Yeah, he's definitely not a threat to our borders. Let's say that.
Not over the Indian Ocean now.
Good podcast though. You get Nick, really raw Nick. No Boundaries podcast. Bit of a plug for the three boys there.
Okay,
it's good. They are getting the likes of like Naomi Osaka on and that kind of thing. So good insight into
how those like if there's one sport around the globe that's impossible to get people. I remember many years ago, we interviewed Ernie Els lying in his bed at Kapalua, waiting to play a round at the first tournament that's just been played. And he was having a chat about, because South Africa were out playing cricket that year, and he was talking about the cricket and all that. Try and get yourself a tennis player on. They're elusive, aren't they? Elusive. That's one way to describe it, yes. You know, they're those ones that go, okay, I'll pass on that message to Naomi. And you're thinking, that message has never been passed on?
No, never. Couple of other bits of sport around. Night skipper Jaden Brayley looks like he's going to have surgery. It's been confirmed that he's torn his Achilles, which is just that. Oh, it's a horrible injury, that.
Ping.
How much of a blow is that for them this season?
No, Connor Watson there. So Connor Watson, they say, okay, you can go, Connor. Maybe he wanted to go too, Connor Watson. And then you go, Chris Randall. Chris Randall's a very solid NRL player and he'll do 60 tackles a game. But Jaden Brayley is, you know, skipper for a reason, very good defensively, probably not as damaging out of dummy half as his brother, Blake, but a very good player. And now you're losing for the year again. That's going to make it tough for Adam O'Brien. Remember, you've got a halfback situation there that's changed with Mitchell Pearce leaving to go to France. So that's no one passes the ball more to, your halfback than your dummy half. So that relationship is going to have to be developed as well. So interesting. There is still time. There, you know, might be someone or some team out there that have players excess to needs.
Yep. Wednesday's clash between the Wanderers and Adelaide United cancelled, or postponed, rather, because Western Sydney, they got the sea bug.
Yeah.
Which is, it's still in the rounds. It's okay. Once it's been through the team, you come out the other side. And for the most part, a lot of teams have been okay. I know from a basketball point of view, the Phoenix played the other night for the first time in 4 weeks, a month essentially. And Ryan Brokoff, who NBA player, former Boomer, that kind of, or current Boomer, really, really struggled on the court. He came out of isolation the day before. So with some of the guys, it's okay. With others, it will take them a little while to get their lungs back and feeling fully back to normal.
Been speaking to guys out of NRL clubs and talking about the how they're transitioning players out of COVID or being COVID positive and back into training. And and the fine line between how much is it mental, how much is it actually physical, the response. I can speak personally. I went for a walk. I thought, you know, I had 3 days off. Then Saturday, this is last week, Saturday, and I thought, no, I feel good now. I'm right. I've kicked it. I went for a walk on the Wednesday. That's pretty much the most, and I was struggling.
After
40 minutes, like on a walk. And I thought, wow, this is interesting.
Yeah. It's funny how it has obviously affected different people. You weren't sort of bedridden, but obviously it still has got your lungs and just knocked you around a little bit. Some of the players are obviously just finding it difficult as well. So
I can only imagine doing a pre-season, having come out of cut. It's hard enough. And now you're going, is this hard because it's hard, or is it hard because I'm getting over COVID, or, you know, is it hard because now I'm too old for this?
Is it hard because is this a hangover? What is this?
Yeah,
2 days later,
things.
You're like, nah.
Is that what you're thinking after what you did last night? Yeah, that's fair enough.
You're listening to the best of SEN.